great to be here in the house today, isn't it? To be with family. Family bound by his spirit. There's nothing greater. God is a good God. Father, we just thank you for your grace and love, and thank you, Father, as we've entered into this time. Lord God, we would have emptied our hearts and come before you and know that you are all things to us. And we just bless you now and thank you that your spirit will take your word and appoint it to each heart in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 There was a young man who answered a call to a big church who were looking for a new pastor. So he went along with his wife and family, all nerves and trepidation. And as happens, and I remember when Pastor Chris was called to this church, he came and brought a word and preached a message to us. It's just part of what happens. And this young man was all excited about what he was going to do and what he was going to say. And when he was introduced, he went out onto the platform and he said, "I come to you to..." And he got a blank. And it was like... And he said, "Excuse me." So he walked away and he went and sat on a chair for a minute and he thought, "I've got it now." And he came back and he looked out and he said, "I come to you too." And the same thing. He got a blank. And he thought, my goodness. He looked down and his wife's going like this to him. So he went over and he sat down again and he said, "Lord, maybe I'm not being enthusiastic enough. Maybe I'm not putting enough into this." Now, I'm not going to do what he did, but he came bounding out across the platform and jumped and he said, "I come to you too." And as he did, he lost his balance and he rolled over and fell flat onto the elder's knee in the front seat. And most embarrassed, he got up and he said, "I'm sorry." And he said, "That's okay, Lord, lad. You already prepared me three times that you were coming. So I was prepared for you." Consequently, he got the job because the pastor liked his enthusiasm. And that's what it's about. It's about enthusiasm. We just had that wonderful chorus I love. You're limitless. And I want you to leave here today knowing that in Jesus Christ, if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you are limitless. We limit ourselves so many times in so many situations, but in every area of your life, you're limitless. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, the Holy Spirit." And in Romans 12:11, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord." And so I want to talk to you this morning about enthusiasm. You know, we're talking about on fire. We're called to be on fire. And as Pastor John and I move around and visit different churches, and in fact on Monday we're going to Mansfield, and I really praise God because the young pastor there is trying, well, not trying, but he is bringing that. And you know, sometimes people feel uncomfortable with the zeal of God, the fervour of God, and they feel uncomfortable about the fire of God. But you see, God, as we've sung and talked, is a consuming fire, and he wants to burn off the dross to enable you for the pure move of his spirit. Just remember that the consuming fire of God is burning away, not the good things but the bad. But he wants us to yield to him and allow him to have his way in our lives. You know, there's nothing more catching than an enthusiastic person. I remember when I was first saved, I was pretty enthusiastic. And that I went into a Presbyterian church and they were pretty staid, I tell you. And they struggled with me. I didn't know a lot, but I knew that this God of the universe loved me and that Jesus had died for me. And so I was just full of that new life because I'd come out of brokenness. And I was still working through a lot of things. But I remember a lady went and said to John, "Look, you better put the blinkers on her. She's just too much." And I just felt absolutely shattered and I thought, goodness, I'm doing it all wrong. And so I went through a time then of trying to fit in with all these conservative people that walked around and little ladies with buns on their head, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they lived like that, very tight-lipped, and we sang all these beautiful hymns, and yet there was no outworking of that in most of the people. But there was one lady, a very dear, dear friend, who was my friend for 55 years, Janet Atkinson. And if I could get near her, I used to love, because she had a beautiful voice and the power of God was evident in her life. She was enthusiastic for God. And so I started then to think, no, that's what I need to pattern myself on. I need to pattern myself and get alongside this lady. And so then evolved a wonderful friendship of sisterhood and her teaching and guiding me in many, many things. And many things she told me, but many things I saw in her life that I patterned. And then, of course, as I got stronger and grew, I knew where to go for the source of my strength and my teaching, which was the Word of God. You know, the world today and even in churches are all caught up about excitement. It's all about excitement. And you see, excitement doesn't last. It's a thing of the flesh. Excitement is not a biblical thing. It's a world thing. Because excitement starts with X, which means it's external. And so while things around us are good, we can be excited. But then when they're not good, that excitement fades. It's like happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. But joy is continual because it's a work of the Spirit. But the concept of enthusiasm is clearly taught under such words as zeal, supernatural spiritual fervour, and wholeheartedness. And so we see that the Greek word for enthusiasm is en, which means in, and theos, which means God. And so when we are enthusiastic, it means we're in God and God is in us. Isn't that awesome? And so if you want to show the world the love and the power of God, be enthusiastic. But you see, we have to have the Spirit of God do a work in our hearts before we can do that. We've got to be what God has called us to be. And so God's word tells us that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. No matter what it is, it's an attitude of the Spirit within you that stirs you to do that. The Bible tells us that we should never lack in zeal or fervour or enthusiasm, but keep it alive, serving God. The Lord expects us as his sons and daughters to be wholehearted. You know, we need to think about the Word of God. Jesus was wholehearted. He knew exactly what lay before him, but he was wholehearted in doing and accomplishing the Father's will, no matter what it cost. Are you prepared to do that? Now, God doesn't ask us to do what Jesus did in that sense. But in the area of the flesh, he wants us to crucify that. He wants us to lay that at his altar. And he wants us to stand up and be raised to all. And as I said, limitless. As we stand in God and the power of his might is within us by the Holy Spirit, you're limitless. There is nothing that's too hard for you. There are many times I look at things, not spiritually but physically, and I think, Lord, and the Lord says, in me you can do that, Pat. Don't see it bigger than it is. Just trust in me and take one step in front of the other. And I praise God that sometimes I might look a bit wonky, but I get there. That's the most important thing. We need to keep pushing through in him. The Lord needs us to be on fire. On fire. And if we're not on fire in here, we won't be on fire out there. And we have a wonderful opportunity every Sunday at our grow groups, at ladies, wherever it is, the youth, the young adults, as we come and we join with like-minded people. And that is wonderful, but that's our training, that's our building up, that's our encouragement. But then we go out those doors into our mission field, and it's whether we take what we get in here or what we get as we're at home before the Lord reading this word, allowing this word to permeate our very being, memorising the word, allowing the word to become part of us so that we're not speaking to people in line and scripture, but it comes out of our very being, out of our spirit, that we speak life to people, things that they can understand. There's another story of a man who was pretty excited. He just left church and he'd gone down to the local coffee shop to have a coffee, and he saw this man come in that he hadn't seen for a long time. And he didn't think this guy was saved. And he called out, hey, Bruce, come over here. Oh, I'm glad I found you, said Bruce. No, I'm glad I found you. Sit down. And he's going, but no, have a coffee. And I want to tell you about our church and about the programs. And the guy's going, but, no. Anyway, he went on like this for about 5 minutes. And the guy said, will you just listen to me? And he just listened to me. I only came out here in here to tell you that they're out there loading your truck onto another car you parked in an unloading zone. So you see, that's not enthusiasm. That is the flesh, the excitement. And that's not the way to greet people. It's to sit them down and have relationship with them, isn't it? But you see, we are limitless. The same invisible motivation that was with Jesus is with us. Every child of God has been given the power to access, or the ability to access, everything that Jesus had. Regardless of what you lack in your natural senses, because I didn't have an education, but God taught me it's not about that, it's being educated in Him. Yes, education's great, and I'm glad our young people, our children, had a good education, and so did our grandchildren, but they're not the things that bring you through in God. God can sharpen those things, but it's about an education in Him. The great pioneer missionary David Livingstone, when he was still a young man, was faced with a decision, and he wrote in his diary, "I found that I have no unusual endowment of intellect, but this day I declare and I resolve that I will be an uncommon Christian." Isn't that awesome? And he purposed in his heart to give all to the Lord and determined to become enthusiastic for the truth and to speak it. And so he became one of the greatest missionaries the world's ever known. He never faltered. You know, apathy can only be overcome by enthusiasm. And the world is calling us to be apathetic. And the world is teaching us to take on its ideas. And many, sadly, church people are so locked up in apathy or fear. And you know, there are Christians that go through the Bible and only read the scriptures that speak some nice little thing to them. They don't read the things about repentance and regeneration and about yielding before the Lord, about being emptied of self and filled with Him. But that's what my Bible teaches me. There must be confession. There must be repentance for every situation. And you see, the Spirit of God is faithful, and He will convict. When you have relationship, He will convict you, and we need to put that right so that we can move forward in all that God has for us. We first need to have an ideal which takes the imagination by storm. And also, we need to have an intellectual plan for carrying that ideal into practice. And what greater ideal could anyone have than bringing everlasting salvation and heavenly life to a lost and dying world? I don't know about you, but I love to stand along my brothers and sisters to encourage them in the things of God. But my greatest joy is when I get with a non-Christian and I'm able to have relationship with them, to be able to share with them. But you see, it's not only my words, it's got to be a work of the Spirit, an enthusiasm. I want people to look and think, I want what she's got. Is that not what you want? I want what she's got. And then there's nothing greater than someone ask you. In fact, 2 weeks ago, after meeting up with someone I hadn't seen for a long time and talking for a while, they rang me up, and that was more or less what they said. I want to know about what it is that keeps you alive, what it is that keeps you so vibrant and vital. And oh, what a joy it was. So I spoke to them on the phone, and then I made time to go and visit with them. And they gave their heart to the Lord. And so it's awesome. It was through a brief encounter, an unexpected thing. But you see, God knows the way we take. He knows where we're going and what we're doing. And we've got to be ready in that moment. We've got to be on fire and living how God wants us to be. And all the world, and so to bring them to Christ. And also, there is no better intelligent plan than anyone could have than that was given by Jesus himself. And he said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature and bring them to salvation. And that's our call, and there's nothing greater. And that should be our life's journey. That should be our life task. That should be our one purpose in life. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest enthusiasts ever. And we know that before he was saved, he was enthusiastic, but he was a cruel man. But you see, he did and was totally focused on what he believed at that time. And God saw that heart, and God said, I'll have that heart and I'll transform it so that it will be just as more fervent for me. And so Paul got wonderfully saved, and we know Paul's life. What an inspiration. What an example to all of us. He was converted, and nothing could quench his spirit or his enthusiasm. In his own words, Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day adrift in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from my own countrymen. That's sad. In danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've laboured and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, but I've never given up. And that's in 2 Corinthians 11, 24-27, if anyone wants to read it. It's an incredible encounter from Paul. So nothing can stop a man and a woman filled with the fire of the Spirit that brings enthusiasm. And that's the word, enthusiasm, a fire in your belly, a fire of the Spirit of God stirring you, drawing you to be on fire. And it's not something we can put on. We can put on excitement, but as I said, it fizzles. Enthusiasm only comes when it is of the Spirit. Enthusiasm is only a word. A zeal is only a word for Christians. The truth of it is only as the Spirit of God brings that to you, that zeal. And even if you're in a situation when you're married to an unsaved person or your children are not saved, that's the greatest challenge, because it's in our homes that we need to live this fervour, this zeal, this enthusiasm. And it doesn't mean we have to be on top all the time and putting on a false front, but if it's from the Spirit of God, it comes out in a very natural way. It comes out as part of our being. That yes, we see that situation as it is, but we know where to find the answer. And we can encourage those that we love to find the answer in that situation. The Bible says, as I said at the beginning, God is an all-consuming fire. So if we want to be enthusiastic for the Lord, full of fiery anointing, we need to pray and ask daily for the Holy Spirit to give us a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my soul. Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. We never come to the place we don't want anymore. But we need a fresh anointing every day. We need to open our eyes, as I've said many times, and thank God. And then we need to get into that realm of the Spirit. And as we pray in the Spirit, earthly things become dim. The flesh starts to relinquish its hold, and we become caught up in Him. And there is nothing more wonderful. We had the wonderful joy on Thursday night of travelling up to Bendigo to see our dear daughter in the Lord, Sue Smith. Many of you know her. She graduated from another course that she's been doing. And it was just a wonderful night. And many people went through. But when Sue went up, the man that was comparing it, he said, "Oh, this lady looks lovely. She's all sparkly. She had a necklace on." And so rather than just smile, Sue stopped and she said to him, "It's a gift from my husband, a farmer who works very hard." And he said, "Oh, that's great." Anyway, he spoke to her later on. Something about Sue drew his attention from all of the other. And John, I tell you, there were a lot of candidates, but something about her. And then this other young man got up and gave his testimony of how he I won't give it all away because John's interested in contacting him, but he's got an incredible testimony of something that he was led to do. And John and I both looked and thought, he's got to be a Christian. And so afterwards, John went and spoke to him. And yes, he's a Christian. And so we had a wonderful encounter. And he was encouraged by my husband. He was just so thrilled with this excitement and zeal that was in John. And he said, I want to keep in touch with you. I need to keep in touch with you. So we never know when God makes an appointed time. And even though we can think, oh, I've got to get going because we needed to go then, we got lost finding our accommodation because there's 2 Napier Streets in Bendigo and the GPS took it to the wrong one. But we praise God that once we left the place, we prayed and then we went and we found our accommodation. And then Friday, we went down to Castlemaine and the principal of Ben's school took us through the school. and we were able to encourage him in the things that he's doing. It's a very small Christian school, but a wonderful environment to be in, So God knows the steps that we take, but we've always got to be looking for opportunities. Yes, to be bringing salvation, but also to encourage one another, to enthuse one another with hope, and to believe that God is able to do all things in Jesus' name. And so we need to be looking to God, praying. We need to be seeking his will. If you haven't got on fire, then you're cold. Jesus himself, God himself said that, you know, he didn't want us hot or cold. We've got to be enthusiastic. We've got to be filled with his spirit. And so if you've gone cold, then it means that there's no fire in your spirit. And because we're saved, we can very easily and very quickly get that back, but we need to do some work. It means we've got to get away on our own and be with the Lord. And it takes time and it takes effort. It takes relinquishing the flesh. It takes surrendering this thing of me that's all about me. I'm sure many of you saw it. I can't help but bring it up, but we're talking about it woman to woman on Thursday, and we're just sort of horrified that, you know, women in this world are so insecure, the feminists of this world, that they're insisting on having a female sign up on the crosswalks, and so they're trialling it in the city. And I thought, how sad. You know, we can laugh about it and we think, oh, it's silly, but you just think, where are those women? What do they really think of themselves that they're so caught up in that, that they don't want? To me, I just see a red sign or a green sign. Who cares if it's a male dressed up, whatever. But that's how insecure and how people are nitpicking at little things. And these are the things we've got to be very careful that we don't get caught up in. We can think, oh yeah, that sounds a good idea. Why should men have this? Why should? But you see, I thank God that he created me as woman. I don't want to be a man. I don't want to be anything like a man. I thank God there are men, and I thank God there are women. That's God's plan. And we can't be like men. We can't be. We have to have the role. And we have a wonderful opportunity in this country of freedom. A lady got on the radio after that and I was really thrilled. She didn't say she was a Christian. In fact, I think she said she didn't have a religious belief. But she said if only people would look around the world and see the suffering in other countries and how free we are in this country. That if women want to work, there is availability to work. If they want to stay home, they can stay home. Whatever. Yes, all right, I'm not saying there aren't need for improvements. But the way to do it is not to become like a man or to fight. God has purposed for you to be who he created you to be. And you see, if you are a woman, be all that God has called you to be as a woman, not the model and the mould that the world would put on you. If you're a man, stand up and be the man God created you to be. Don't follow the things of the world. Don't try to be a knocker bloke and be out there with the guys. Stand and be set apart. But you see, it's easy to do that if that zeal and that vibrant fire and that purpose is in your heart. Then it's not a chore. And you see, it doesn't become offensive because the things of God are not offensive. It's only when we try to play act or we try to put something on or act as if we're holier than thou, we offend people. But if we are our natural selves in the Spirit, if that is flowing, the Spirit is flowing through us, then it comes out in a natural way. Someone asked John Wesley what the secret of his success was, and he replied, it's simple. I just get on fire for God and the world comes to see me burn. So it sounds simplistic, but it's powerful. And so we need to be on fire for God. If you haven't got the fire, but you've got nothing but dead coals, no warmth, no heat, you'll never inspire anyone or do anything to further God's purpose. So you need the doctor. You need to come back to the power of God's Spirit and allow him to stir that within you. And you see, it's not only the enthusiasm and the fire to bring others, but it's the fire enthusiasm for us to overcome. If you want to overcome in your life, whether it's financially, whether it's relationships, whether it's money, it's that enthusiasm and that zeal and it's that burning fire of the Spirit of God that will enable you to do that. We can't fix everything, but we know the one who can. We know the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who is all powerful. What's a fire, a furnace, when it goes out? It's just nothing but empty coals. So are you enthusiastic? Has your work, your witnessing, your singing, whatever you do, got the power? And you see, even up here on the platform, it's awesome because it's inspirational. They don't just get up here and sing and lead us in worship. They get into the Spirit. Yeah, they practice and do things like that. But at the end of the day, it's a knowledge and knowing that it's the Spirit of God that takes our voice, that takes the words. It's the Spirit of God that transforms those pieces of wood into an instrument that make melody, that help us to follow into the throne room, to lift our hearts and rejoice in the things of God. Fire power of God is the Spirit working in us, and it's all we need. Come, let's set the world afire for God and lighten the hearts of all men and women everywhere that they might repent. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. We need to be on fire for God today. We need to be full of his enthusiasm, full of his unconditional love, full of his purpose, full of his leading, because tomorrow may be too late. You know, I was thinking as I was saying about speaking to this person and how God led me into that situation and how it all came about. That might not happen again. We can't miss that moment. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have issues and things that we need to deal with, but deal with them. Don't keep putting them on the back burner. Learn what it means to come before God and say, Lord, I need you. Learn what it means to go to your husband, your wife, your child and say, forgive me, I'm sorry I hurt you. What they do with that is up to them. But we are then released. We are then freed. And if we follow, the Word of God has a way and a plan all through it about this wonderful anointing that was given in the Old Testament at times, but we now have the Spirit poured out upon us, poured out. And remember that as we stand in the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we follow him, as we seek his Spirit, we are limitless. Say that to yourself. I am limitless. There is nothing that I can't do. Now, it doesn't mean that we do everything, but God sets our path. He sets our purpose. And whatever God has set you to do, you will accomplish in him. You know, it says, and I've said it before just to close, that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That doesn't mean I can do anything because I can't. But I can do all things that he set for me according to his strength. Because God has set me a purpose. He set me in a place. He knows the path that I take. He knows what he wants me to achieve. So in those things, I can do all things. All things because he said so, because he's gone ahead and done all those things. And so claim that today. Be enthusiastic. Be filled with that fire. Be filled with his Spirit so that when you speak, it'll come out of your mouth and it'll wash over others to bring healing, encouragement, strength and salvation. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you, Father God, that you are a God who does not sleep, that you never ever sleep, Lord, but your eyes are always upon those that you love. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have provided everything that we need. And this morning, Lord God, I just pray that, Lord God, each man, woman, each young person, Lord, would seek that fire in their belly, would seek to be enthusiastic. God in me, me in God. Not excitement, not getting caught up in the flesh, but allowing your Spirit, who knows the way and knows what to do and what to say, that we would rely on him and allow him to lead and direct, and that we, Lord, might overflow with your love and your purpose and your glory. Your word says that we are growing from glory to glory. I want to look back, Lord, on yesterday and thank you, Lord, that I am somewhere higher today than I was then, and even over the year, to know, Lord God, that we are growing closer. For this journey we are on is just a journey of preparation for an eternity. And we don't want to lack, Lord. We don't want to miss out on anything. We don't want to have any regrets, Lord. But we want to know that we've fulfilled all that you have purposed for us to do. So I pray, Lord, that you by your Spirit would touch every heart today. That each person here today would go away and ponder, Lord God. And not be satisfied with where they are and think, well, that was a good word, but I'm okay. No, we're not okay. If we're not growing, we're not doing. We've got to be instruments of everything you've called us to do by the power of your Spirit. May we be enthusiastic, full of fervour, full of joy, full of love, full of grateful hearts that would serve you and see the fulfilment of all you've set before us. In Jesus' most precious name.